What I want you to focus on here is joy to the world. In other words, there was joy given to you. Joy was given to the world. Joy to the world. This guy who wrote this song, Isaac Watts, he was a radical. They didn't accept him when he wrote that song. I mean, he was kind of outside the box. And now we sing it with reverence, and we love the song. It wasn't really a Christmas song, but it has become a Christmas song. But joy to the world. He caught something when it said joy to the world. The question is, have you received that joy? Have you entered into that joy? Because that's the joy we're going to talk about today. It says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So it's good to have that. So anyway, you got to see this little scene here. That's Brutus on the left. And Popeye, how many are old enough to remember Popeye? And that up in the right-hand corner is the magic strengthening ingredient that Popeye, that stuff would come out. You ever notice that just come out in one long string? I don't know how I ate that. Anyway, and from that point on, Brutus was toast. Brutus had nothing there. So we need some spinach. You need some joy juice. You need the Jesus joy juice. You got to be drinking this Jesus joy juice. Adam swings up over there.
Yeah, I just want to say Steve did not run this by me.
You didn't share your joy juice.
A disclaimer. You know, they brought somebody, the woman's brought eggs, and I quickly hid them all. Okay. You'll find this down the abundant life aisle in the warehouse of heaven. You look up there and there's the aisle numbers, you know. You look for abundant life and you go down that aisle and you'll find this drink. No, I don't want to do that. Okay. John 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. We may not have Brutus, but there is a thief, and he comes to rob you of your joy. He comes to take away that which was given to you freely and somehow gets you into another state. And he lies, he uses scripture, he'll use anything to get you out of sync with your joy, with who you are, and what God has given us. Whatever this world can throw at you, Jesus' joy juice will overcome it. So where do you get it? Where do you get it? Now, on the last day of the great feast, Feast of Tabernacles, you know, you ever read that story in Ezekiel about the water coming out, flowing out from the temple? Well, they used to kind of, one of the things during the Feast of Tabernacles that they would take water and they would go up and symbolically pour that by the temple to get it to flow out. Kind of a symbolic thing of what was to come. And if you've read the scripture, there's coming a day when there's going to be water flowing out of Jerusalem. I was standing there on Mount Zion, and straight across, straight east of Mount Zion, you know, it says the Mount of Olives is straight east of Mount Zion, or straight east of Jerusalem. Well, straight east of the temple is the Mount of Olives, but you get over on Mount Zion, and straight east of the Mount Zion is not the Mount of Olives. It's the Mount of Abomination. It's where Solomon put all the idols of his wives, 700 idols on that. And our tour guide said, I think when this earthquake comes, and he said, I think the Lord's going to take out that Mount of Abomination. That probably will be gone as he sits on on the Mount of Olives. But that day there will be water running out. But Jesus stands up and he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me, and out of you. Well, what does it say about us in the Bible? That we are the temple of the living God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and out of us shall flow rivers of living water. Do you suppose that Jesus picked that certain day in reference to Ezekiel and in reference to what was to come to talk about the Holy Spirit that was to come? For he said he was talking about the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given, because he was not yet glorified. So, Jesus is the only supplier of this water. No one else can warehouse it. You must get it directly from the supplier. He's the only one authorized to distribute it. And as a Christian, you must have it. And if you drink this juice, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, you'll bring life to others. Acts 11:16. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were remembering what Jesus had said. Well, in Mark 1:16, John said, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Ah, this is necessary. This isn't optional for a Christian. But Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. There is no other one. Don't be looking for another one. Don't be looking for another man. Don't be looking for a particular church. Don't look to anything but Him, because He's the source. There is no other. You can run around looking and say, well, if I go to this church, I gotta... No, you go to Jesus. He's the source. The only authorized supplier in the universe and beyond. If anyone's thirsty, come and drink. So you can't get it from a store or a church or another person. It must come from Jesus. He can use someone to assist him if he chooses, but he's the source. So, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Pretty potent deal here. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Today we're going to talk about joy, but I'm telling you, righteousness and peace are just as important, that you need those. But they all come as an ingredient of Jesus' joy juice, the Holy Spirit. It all comes in Him. You get righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You got it. When you have the Spirit, you have the joy. You have it. All right. So here it is, Jesus' joy. Four things that you can... It's great joy. John read that. It's everlasting joy. It's inexpressible joy. Pure joy. It's wonderful. And there's probably more. I'm just picking those four. Talk about those, okay? It's not a natural joy, it's a supernatural joy. And you'll not find this joy from any other source except Jesus Himself. You can talk about a joy that's not from Jesus, but that joy is not everlasting, and it's not something that's pure. Okay? So, great joy. And that's exactly the verse I picked that out of. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This great joy is a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. He came so that you might have life and have it abundantly. The joy that the penalty of sin was forever removed from heaven by His blood. That's joy. You know that? The joy that Jesus removed forever the body of sinful flesh from me when He took me to the cross. That's great joy. I hope you have grabbed on to that for yourself, that at the cross of Jesus, He removed from you with a circumcision not made with hands, not done with hands, the removal of the body of flesh from you. Not only was the sin atoned for in heaven, but the factory of sin was removed from you, taken away, sliced off. Circumcised. Good news. Great joy that this has happened. I mean, this is good joy. Then being buried with Christ in baptism and raised with Him through His resurrection, that I have eternal life. Great joy. The joy of my salvation. Great joy. How long does this joy last? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow and mourning shall flee away, flee away. Mourning and sadness and sorrow, they'll flee away. They're gone. They'll flee away. With this joy, those things flee. Wow. An everlasting joy. How long does that go for? How long is everlasting? I found out that the Duracell batteries are not everlasting. Well, they're not even, they're Rayovac. They're not everlasting either. Even if the bunny keeps going. That's ever ready. But this joy that we got, wait a minute, that's Old Testament. Talking about Israel and the redeemed. So you got to ask yourself, are you redeemed? Have you been redeemed? Can you sing this song for yourself? Are you redeemed? Did Christ redeem you? What does that mean? Go to the Redemption Center and turn in your green stamps. Get the prize. Huh? That's really old school. How many remember green stamps? Why do you go with gas stamps today up to the Shell station and get some gas? You can redeem them. All I'm saying is you were redeemed. You were brought back and you were bought with a price. You belong to the Lord. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You were bought. You've been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Huh? We're redeemed. Everlasting joy. Everlasting joy is on your heads. If your joy is slipping away, you might not be drinking the right juice. Need to be updated. Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Jesus has redeemed us. In this joy, sorrow and mourning do not mix. In Isaiah 61:3, and I think this is a verse that you guys found great favor in Israel this last trip. To appoint to them who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Because it's an everlasting joy and mourning shall flee away. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. This joy never goes away. No matter what your trial or your circumstance, this joy is everlasting. And it's going to be there all the way through. Nobody can snatch you out of His hand. And since this joy is everlasting, once you got it, you got it. You don't have to keep looking and looking and researching and where do I get more? No, you got it. It's an everlasting joy. Don't let someone tell you, well, your joy was here, it's gone, you got to get it again. I think what we need again is to believe. We need faith. We need to kick out the unbelief and believe who we are. Inexpressible joy. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, you believe Him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. Have you ever tried to explain this joy to someone else? You know, it's tough. I mean, I'm trying to explain some of it, but I'll tell you what. I'll give you a good hint. Don Fotenhauer. He was just here, right? Spoke. Well, he had something happen to his brain which they call a suicide disease. The Teflon or the thing that's over the nerves in your brain wear out, and your nerves in your brain get exposed, and it just drives you. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You just gotta tough it out. There's no pills. There's nothing that can take it away, and it drives you. I mean, it's just horrible. And it contorts your face, and it does all kinds of things, and it's terribly painful. So he's having one of these episodes at his house. And he said, I didn't know what to do, and there was a dining room table, and he started going around the table. And pretty soon, as he's going around the table and just going through this thing, the song came into his heart. He started singing a song to the Lord. And he said, all of a sudden, I was taken out of this situation. The pain was there, but I was no longer there. And he said, I was free. The pain was there, but I was free. And he made it through, and he said, I experienced the joy of the Lord. You can experience whatever. You have to put your trust in that this is really true. Inexpressible joy. How can you tell someone about that? I can only think about what Don was going through. By the way, he's had surgery, and through the miracles of medical science, they went in with Teflon, and they wrapped his nerve with this Teflon and isolated it again. And he's had some success. He's had that surgery twice. The first one didn't make it. The second one seems to be holding. You can pray for him. This joy comes to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pure joy. James 1:2. How many of you have read this and been a little confused with this one? Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Pure joy. Trial. Pure joy. Trial. Pure joy. Trial. How does that work? 1 Peter 1:6. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, you can read on. Pure joy. I've wrestled with this verse for myself. I believed it, but today I believe it more, and I'm hoping that I can give you a little bit of an understanding of pure joy. If something's pure, let's take gold since that's shows up there. Gold. If you have pure gold, that means that there's nothing there but gold. If you have gold that's part gold and part lead or something else, you have a mixture. Right? And if you're going to refine this thing to pure gold, you got to get rid of the mixture to get it down to pure gold. Well, we don't have to. This is pure joy. Consider it pure joy. Okay, here's how this goes. See that word right up here? If necessary. Who's watching over that word? Who's the one that decides that it's necessary or not? Is there someone greater than you that says it's necessary? And if he says it's necessary, is it necessary? What's it necessary for? Why is it necessary? If it is necessary, What's the outcome? Well, I read that just a little bit earlier. The outcome, I'll read it again. We can just read on a little bit further. It's here. First Peter 1. That's being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to the result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as an outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. How important is your faith? How important is it that God establishes you in your faith? And if, in fact, the trials that come are necessary and they've been picked, hand-picked by God, was it something that could or maybe, well, maybe it should have happened or shouldn't have happened? You know, I really wish this wouldn't have happened. Or was it something that God hand-picked for you and it was necessary and it's pure because it wasn't something to be discarded? That even what you're going through in this life is necessary for you. Consider it pure joy. It's not, it's all part of God's ideal, perfect plan. And in fact, it's necessary. It's pure. It's not something that was part of the mix that needed to be discarded. No, it was part of what God had planned for you. If, in fact, someone is watching over this word, necessary. Necessary. So, they're going to send out a satellite, right? Into space. Or they're going to put someone on the moon. You know, maybe that would make us think it's a little more complicated. Or they're going to send someone to Mars or whatever. Well, just recently they've got new people that are trying to put people into space, and they send off a rocket, and it didn't do very well. You might even say it failed. But I'm telling you, without that rocket going up and failing, they don't get to the next step of solving the problem. And they do this, and they test that, and they build a prototype, and they do all this stuff. And when they're making cars, they got something that slams that door a million times to see if it'll slam a million times without breaking. That piece of equipment never makes it to the public. A lot of things behind the scene that never make it. But when they have a successful mission, all the people that have done the testing and everybody else, yay! We did it! And there will be a day. There will be a day. At the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be a day at the marriage of the Lamb. And there will be a day when joy will be full. The fullness of joy and all these things that we didn't quite understand that brought us to that point. Hallelujah. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. Pure joy. Pure joy. Pure joy. Consider it pure joy. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. It doesn't say of your faith, it just says of faith. We sometimes put a little extra word in there, which I think is true too, but who for the joy set before him, the joy, is this necessary? Was this necessary? Was the cross necessary? I mean, was it necessary to die? Was it necessary to be tortured and beat and all these things? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now, here, put this one in your bank. To truly celebrate Christmas, if we really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of Christmas, is to be able to see and give glory to God for the joy He has set before us. What joy has been set before you? For the joy set before me, I endured the trial. For the joy set before me, do you have that joy? Is that joy in you? You see, the joy set before Jesus, He endured. The joy set before me, I endure. Because I know the outcome. I know where I'm going. What was that in the Bible study? He knew where he'd come from and he knew where he was going. Yeah, Dave brought that up. Do you know where you come from and do you know where you're going? Hallelujah. What great joy set before us causes me to endure. What can take you out? What can somehow snatch you out and say you're not going to make it? Nothing. Nothing. So there's a joy set before us. If you're a child of God filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the joy in you. The Holy Spirit will teach you about things to come and your destiny in Him. We just need to believe it. If we only see Jesus on the cross and in the tomb, if that's all the further you got, wouldn't be much joy. We'd miss the pure or complete joy of Jesus' finished work for you and me. But as we see, He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He went into the tomb, but He came out of the tomb. There was a resurrection Sunday. And because He was raised up, I was raised up. I got eternal life. What can you do to me? What can man do to me? I have eternal life. And they overcome Him, it says in Revelations, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and our testimony better include everlasting joy. And they did not love their life even unto death. Why? Because this life on this earth doesn't make it anyway. I don't care if Jesus comes tomorrow, this body ain't going to make it. I'm either going to be instantly changed or I'm going to go into the tomb and become dust. He's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The final joy will be when all things are under His feet. And we are at the marriage feast of the Lamb. What a day that will be. What a joy. That's where we're headed, and that's where you will make it to that point. Once you have that joy, you can help others. Okay, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. Actually, it doesn't say one there, but it does in other places, even as we are. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. That's the joy that Jesus had to endure the cross. And now he's praying that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them their word, your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, here's the hard part. Why didn't he just take us? Why did he leave us? I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Do you suppose that Jesus knew what he was praying for? Yeah. The fullness of joy in you, that you might have Jesus' joy in you. That's good news, by the way. If God is for us, who can be against us? That joy will carry us through. We need not ever have a day. Listen, we need not ever have a day without joy. Without joy. Yeah, we'll be hated, persecuted, reviled. Blessed are you when people speak evil of you on behalf of me. And, you know, so I mean, it's not a bad deal. Okay. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Don't like that word. We want to... I call up Don Foldenauer once in the church. It was early on, and I was going through trials. We've been through trials. And I was complaining and grumbling to Don. Not so much unlike Israel, I guess. And I was just... And Don come back and he said, "Steve, the trouble with you is you want sunshine every day." He said, "The reality is you got to have wind and rain and storms and the roots go down. Without the trial, you're weak." He said, "But you need the whole gamut of stuff. Yeah, the days of sunshine are great, but don't discount all the rest of the days. In this world, you will have tribulation. Take good courage. I've overcome the world." I love this next verse. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Have you put that one in your belief system? When the trials and all the difficulties come, whatever's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Why do you suppose that these trials come to test our faith, which is more precious than gold? It's a good deal to have our faith tested. Because there are days coming when you might have to go through more. Will you have the faith to make it? God ensures you will. He ensures that it's going to work for you. Count it pure joy when he tests you so that your faith grows strong. It's all part of his perfect plan for you. Stop grumbling and complaining and start enjoying life that God has given you and that He will never leave you or forsake you and that He will get you through. There's grace. That's the grace of God. That He loves you so much, so much, that He allows things to come that form Christ in you. And that you know who you are. And that you get a chance to firm it up. So that whatever God knows is coming, you'll be ready. But let's start not looking at life through this set of glasses that ends up blaming somebody for my troubles. And you say, well, obviously, this person did something to me and I'm suffering. I don't think I got this verse in here. But I'll get it in here. It's in here. I didn't get it in there, but it's in here. And we know. We know. You know. It said they knew. We know. That God causes all things to work together for good. For those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, in the end, you suppose that the one who created the universe, the God who took nothing and created, I mean, what if someone made a mistake and someone did something to me that they shouldn't have done? Does that limit God from making it work good for me? Do you think that you can do something so terrific to me that God can't make it work good for me? Sorry, I'm going to keep my joy. Because you can't do anything to me. You cannot do one thing to me that will rob that joy because I know in my knower that God causes all things to work together for good for me. And you can't take that away from me. Who can take it away from you? I want to ask, don't answer that. I don't want to do a lot of counseling this afternoon. You see? God's so much bigger, so much greater than our trials, that the trials are momentary. Why does He say momentary light afflictions? Compared with everlasting and eternity, it's a mist. Our whole life is a mist. It's over. Momentary light afflictions. Momentary light afflictions are not to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed. Huh? Keep that one present and nobody can take you off. This kid in Red Lake, he said, Thompson, you're not going to make it home tonight. I said, why is that? You won't know what hits you. I'm going to be in the woods. This morning I read two cops got killed in New York that way. It does happen. I said, oh. Well, I said, that's too bad. I said, but you can't kill me. What do you mean? I'm going to have a 30-06. It'll do you. I said, I'm telling you, you can't kill me. Why is that? I said, I have eternal life. You can't kill me. I have eternal life. And he looked up at me and he said, Thompson, you're weird. I'll tell you, we might sound a little weird. But what can take my joy? What can take me out? What can take you out? I'm telling you, nothing in this world can take you out. You have everlasting joy. You've been redeemed. You have everlasting life. You are good to go forever. Are we getting it? I got another 5 minutes. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, help us to grab on to that joy. Help us to grab on to what you have done for us, that we might never give up. We might never lose our joy just because some trial, some difficulty, something happened in our life that seems to have robbed everything. I know that it cannot rob that joy because that joy is everlasting. It's on my head. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all to see that we are children of God, belong to Him, a Father who only disciplines us that we might see His holiness. He disciplines us according to His purposes. He doesn't miss the mark. It's all pure joy. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And put it into our hearts, Lord, that we might be overcomers in this world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.